You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Wednesday, midweek edition of the Gym Class coming your way on this May the 7th here in Eastern Iowa. Great to have you with us from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes across the table. Isaac on the other side of the glass, processing everything going on, and I believe on the internet, maybe ordering Utah Mammoth gear as we speak.
Not quite yet. I got to wait to... I don't know if they even have stuff dropped yet. I'm sure there's probably some merch available.
Gotta be.
I'll wait a little bit longer until something cool comes out.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that coming up in just a moment. Great to have you with us. We got a good show coming up for you. We'll discuss that. Very interesting story coming down today, which right now... seems a little bit in a fantasy world, but I don't know if it's going to have any legs, but we will discuss that coming up here in just a little bit. And above all, it is a Wednesday. That means it is Caddy Smack in the Gym Class. Brian Haas from Lake House Sports is here, and we will answer your golf questions out there and talk some golf with Brian. That'll be coming up here in just a little bit. Text line available at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That's the phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, that is also 319-366-1600 here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. The first Wednesday without bowling or a bowling-associated event since Labor Day, Mark. I'm a little lost today.
That's just one reason it's a great day, Scott.
And it's 84 degrees.
Good afternoon, you guys, and anxious to get going today.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. Anxious to get to it. And big story, a couple things. The Steelers trade for George Pickens, the Cowboys trading for George Pickens. Cowboys are the favorites again. It's going to help them, there's no doubt. Going to help them. Going to help Dak Prescott, going to help that offense. Needs some offensive linemen, I believe, to protect Dak Prescott and make sure he gets it out there to Pickens and others. But Dallas did what they had to do today, so good by them. And some draft choices coming the other way. Still not a top-flight quarterback, though, as of the moment, in Pittsburgh, but you never know. You never know if number 12 is going to put the cape on and come in and rescue the franchise this year.
I think it's a steal for the Cowboys, really. But the next dominoes to fall will be Alan Lazard to the Steelers, followed by Aaron Rodgers.
That's okay? It? That's going to be it? Okay. I could see it. Randall Cobb?
He's since retired.
Well, he can come out of retirement. He can come out of retirement and play with Aaron Rodgers once again. Get the gang together one more time.
Are you still qualifying Aaron Rodgers as a top-flight quarterback? In the year in big 2025? Because I think that ship sailed a little while ago.
Not top-flight, but I think he's a very, very capable quarterback. How's that? Can I go with that as my answer?
I would say average starter is his ceiling at this point in his career.
He better have a good offensive line. Because he's not mobile.
No. And he's scared. Based off of last year, he is scared to take hits.
Yeah.
Which I would be, too, at that age and considering coming off an Achilles injury. I can't blame him, but he won't stand in there at all.
I'd be scared as a 21-year-old to take hits from those guys. 319-366-1600. That's one story. The other one, of course, is now the official announcement of Isaac's Utah Mammoth. This actually broke last week. There was a leak. But now it is official. They've got, and remember the days, Mark, when there was one logo for your team?
Mm-hmm.
And now you have to have, I believe, six is what Utah has. You've got your main, you've got your road one, you've got your home one, you've got your alternates, you got everything going on.
There's City Connect and the NHL.
Not yet, but it's coming. So, you know, it's a nice logo, though, I think, for the Mammoth.
I think it is, too. And you know how I feel about the Mammoth. It's neither singular or plural if you're a headline writer. If you're a writer, I've always had problems with that. But I actually like the logo. And this is a fan vote, so this is what the fans want. They want prehistoric animals.
Did you vote for the Mammoth? Did you vote at all, Isaac?
I did not vote at all. I believe the voting was like in the stadium.
In the Utah State?
Yeah, okay. So I obviously haven't taken any trips to Utah in a little while. It's been a couple years, so did not vote. I was very pro-Mammoth. I was in the Mammoth crowd.
Because it was Mammoth Hockey Club or Yeti.
Yeah, Outlaws, I think they maybe replaced Hockey Club after enough Utah fans were like, there's zero chance we're voting for Hockey Club. We don't want it to be Hockey Club.
Sounds very European.
Yes, I think they got rid of that and put Outlaws, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I think that was also one of the choices there. And they had several levels of fan voting to narrow it down. And I'm okay with the Mammoth. It's growing on me a little bit. The Yeti, I would not have liked. Outlaws, okay.
I think the Yeti would have been okay.
I think there was copyright issues on that one.
Yeah, there was copyright issues because of the cooler. They were scared they were going to get, I don't know why, but they were scared they were going to get sued by the cooler brand.
Well, more on that coming up in a moment. Maybe they should be scared that they're going to get sued. The Outlaws would have been, of course, an homage to the United States Football League back in the day because those of us that were around at that time, that was way before your time, Isaac, the grandness of the USFL in the early to mid-80s. There wasn't the Arizona Outlaws. It was the Arizona Outlaws.
That's correct, yeah.
They were yellow and light blue. Little history lesson for everybody out there. If you were of a certain age, the Houston Gamblers, that was a good nickname. I'm not sure why no one has picked up Gamblers. Maybe because of betting all over the United States, basically, now?
Yeah, there might be some legal, I don't know if you want to be saying that's what your team is
standing
minor
league by. Minor League Baseball has the best nicknames.
Yes.
I mean, just so out of the box, I think. I mean, the Mighty,
and logos.
Mighty Muscles. And
logos.
Yeah.
To be honest, Tin Caps. Our own Cedar Rapids Colonels. Mm-hmm. That's a very good one, very popular one around the country.
Yeah, I'm very happy with Mammoth. I was very pro Mammoth, so I'm glad. Again, as long as it wasn't Utah Hockey Club, I was fine. I just didn't want to run that back.
Did not want to have that. 319-366-1600. Are you a Utah Mammoth fan along with Isaac now?
Also, they jumped up to number 4 in the NHL draft lottery. From they were like 98% chance to pick at 14. They jumped 10 spots.
Nice. It will be the fait accompli next year when you appear with a Utah Mammoth sweater over there.
Yes. I will get one. I know hockey sweaters are pretty pricey though, as far as team apparel. Those ones are usually on the higher end. That and I'll have a Cooper Flag Utah Jazz jersey. I'll have that as well because I am ready for that to become a reality.
Well, you got
to
win the draft lottery first.
I've never asked for anything draft lottery wise. This is the one time I want Utah to win the draft lottery, please. They've never done it before.
We got, by the way, NBA basketball coming up tonight for you. Playoff action. No Cubs game tonight. Cubs are in action. We'll get to that on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update for you coming up in just a little bit. But we've got the NBA tonight, which is off to a very interesting start in the second round. We've got Denver and Oklahoma City tonight. The fourth-seeded Nuggets won game one in Oklahoma City. They will try for a big-time 2-0 cushion tonight, and we'll have it at 8 o'clock for you with an 8:35 tip-off. Knicks-Boston going at it in game two. Knicks won on the road in game number one. And my adopted Toronto Maple Leafs also in action tonight since the Blues are out.
Tyrese Haliburton with the kind of a big shot last night.
Kind of a big shot for Indiana to break the hearts of the land of Cleveland, at least to this point. Cleveland's in trouble. Down 2-0, going back to Indianapolis. But, man, Tyrese Haliburton, the former Cyclone, crazy, doing well. Kyle likes the jerseys. They are nice. The alternate sweater is kind of ice. It's mountain blue. It's not ice blue, Isaac. It is mountain blue.
They have some nice color schemes. Utah, even just this year with Hockey Club, I thought they had some really good colors that they threw together. So a lot of potential.
2757 does not like Mammoth, though.
I can understand why there is some dislike of the team name. When you think of Mammoth and Ice, I don't think those two typically go very well together. I think you think of some fumbling around for such a agile, quick sport, and you don't necessarily think of Mammoth, so I can kind of see.
They're around in the Ice Age.
Yeah, I don't think they were on the ice, though. I think they kind of avoided that area.
319-366-1600 as we come your way here. We're going to talk some golf in just a little bit here. Caddy Smack in the Gym Class. Do need to get this, Mark. As soon as I saw this morning, I sent you an immediate text. We had to talk about this. And we've talked a little bit about court cases, et cetera, over the years. But I think we have the court case of all court cases now. There is a fan, which right now the identity is being withheld. They're just calling him John Doe. An NFL fan or a college football fan or a football fan in general is suing the National Football League. They are suing the mighty NFL for $100 million over the draft slide of Shedeur Sanders, citing emotional distress and trauma from the fact that he slipped from apparently one of the top handful of draft choices all the way to the fifth round to the Cleveland Browns. It caused the plaintiff frustration, disappointment, and psychological harm as a fan, Mark. $100 million he's asking from the Roger Goodell.
Well, it takes all kinds, right? And this is low-hanging fruit for me. It really is. You wouldn't want to have seen me last fall when the Bears gave up a Hail Mary to the Washington Commanders. I was distressed.
Were you $100 million distressed?
I'm distressed when my fantasy golfer misses a three-footer and costs me money. Distress. It's so 2025. It really is. And I don't want to diminish anybody who goes through emotional distress because I think it's very important. But this isn't going anywhere, is it? This is a Colorado fan has followed Sanders and the Buffaloes for a couple years.
Correct.
And how do you prove that?
Well, it says on CBS Sports here, the plaintiff claims that the reports and, quote, leaked statements, unquote, suggesting that Sanders tanked interviews, wasn't prepared, was too cocky in the pre-draft process, helped create the narrative that unjustly harmed his reputation. And these slanderous statements caused emotional distress and trauma to the plaintiff as a fan and a consumer. The plaintiff, not only does he want, or she, I assume it's a he since it's John Doe. So we're going to go with he.
John has filed many lawsuits over the years.
He definitely has. Also, besides the $100 million, wants a formal acknowledgement from the NFL regarding the emotional distress caused by their actions and statements. A retraction of the slanderous statements made about Shedeur Sanders. Who made slanderous statements about Shedeur Sanders? Mel Kiper was all for him, man. Didn't watch the coverage, apparently. Along with an apology for any harm caused to the reputation of Shedeur Sanders. Implementation of fair practices in the drafting process. Now, I don't know how you go about doing that. To ensure that talented players are recognized and given opportunities based on merit. Crazy.
Why doesn't John Doe want to be identified? Why don't you just put your name to it? Are you afraid of being vilified? Yes.
This is not going anywhere, right? I mean, no way.
I'm glad he didn't put his name to it, because that would have brought more attention to him and to the story more than it deserves.
Are you sure that's not Mel Kiper? Asks 6511. No, it is not Mel. It's not Mel. Mel is in witness hiding now for the next 3 months, getting ready for the 2026 draft, and then he'll mysteriously appear again. Cyclone Tim says he has emotional distress and trauma every time a Reds reliever comes in after the seventh inning. Hey, at least your guy didn't drop a fly ball and have it hit him in the head last night. A new and brilliant way for the White Sox to lose a game last night. Your thoughts about this at 319-366-1600. And this is, listen, it's not going to go anywhere. Not going to get $100 million. Not going to get probably anything. Roger Goodell, first of all, is not worried about this. They've got not only a team of lawyers, the National Football League has a fleet of lawyers that will handle this situation.
You don't want to swim with the sharks. That's pretty good advice. And this is what this person is going to be doing if he wants to press forward. No, it's not going anywhere, and I hope the NFL does not reach any kind of settlement.
I'm sure that's what they're looking for, some sort of a settlement. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine how much this is costing this
It's distressing
person.
Talking about it.
I'm still hurt from 1983 and Todd Blackledge. If you want to get down to brass tacks here, being a young 17-year-old impressionable Kansas City Chiefs fan, and the Chiefs passed on every quarterback known to mankind to get Todd Blackledge. That's an emotional problem for your team. 319-366-1600. We will get to Caddy Smack on the Gym Class coming up here in just a couple of moments. A reminder, though, for you, coming up tomorrow, another chance to win with the Todd Brommel Camp Show. Oh, tickets, where art thou? To see Alison Krauss and Union Station coming up on Friday, June the 13th at the McGrath Amphitheater. He will give a clue to where each day's tickets are hidden, and the first person to correctly identify the location of the tickets will win. Next chance to play comes up tomorrow. Should mention as well, Mark, that the Indy 500, it is the merry month of May, and we have, once again, a pair of general admission tickets to the Indianapolis 500 that we are going to give away here on the program next Monday. So keep that in mind. I'm coming up with a trivia question or two, maybe two. You may have to do a multi-level answering of question or questions.
Moderate difficulty.
I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
Moderate difficulty.
Yeah, that's not going to be overly difficult. Yeah. We can't do that. One will be easy. The next one, moderately difficult. So we will do that on Monday. So tune in at that time. We always wish you tune in here on the program. Let's get it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update at this time, brought to you by Emil's, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot, and they're online at emilshideaway.com. We do have afternoon baseball today.
We do indeed. Cleveland has defeated, has won 8-6. St. Louis shut out Pittsburgh 5-0. Mitch Keller from Cedar Rapids went 6 innings, gave up 3 runs. Houston down Milwaukee 9-1. And in the top of the seventh inning, the Giants lead the Cubs at Wrigley Field 3-1. 11th-seeded Penn State ousted 6th-seeded Iowa from the Big Ten softball tournament today 6-2. The Hawkeyes are 35-18 and hold only an outside shot of making the NCAA tournament. The Golden State Valkyries, speaking of nicknames, made their WNBA debut last night, dropping a 1-point preseason game to the Los Angeles Sparks. Former Iowa star Kate Martin had 8 points for Golden State. ACC athletic directors voted today to reduce the number of conference men's basketball games from 20 to 18, beginning this coming season. And finally, as we segue to Caddy Smack, local qualifying for the U.S. Open is ongoing. The lone Iowan to advance so far is former Cedar Falls and current Iowa State player Owen Sawyer. Other notables include 14-year-old Raymond Rebel of Tennessee, who advanced Monday shooting a 69 and winning a four-man playoff. And Charlie Woods failed to advance with a 75 in Florida. One of the remaining local qualifiers is next Monday at Cedar Rapids Country Club, where 78 players will vie for four spots in final qualifying.
Best of luck to everybody out there. Going to be a lot of local talent out there. 319-366-1600. No, Gene, you cannot sue because you're a Vikings fan. And 8310, tongue-in-cheek, saying they don't have enough money for Trubisky. The truth.
Speaking of distress.
In Chicago. 319-366-1600. Caddy Smack on the Gym Class is coming up. But first, it's time for your chance to enter the Spring Into Cash giveaway with 1600 ESPN. We've teamed up with a national contest to give our listeners a chance to win a $5,000 prize. Today's winning keyword is track. Track. Go to KGYMradio.com right now and enter that word in the entry form for your chance to win. Again, today's word is track. And listen in on at 5:30, Spencer on Sports. He'll have your next opportunity to go to KGYMradio.com and enter that keyword. Back with Caddy Smack after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we are going to have a mix of sun and clouds through the rest of the day with still some mild conditions and temperatures around 80 degrees. There may be a stray shower or storm around during the afternoon and early evening. The clouds will linger through the start of the night and temperatures will drop into the mid-40s as those clouds clear. Tomorrow will be sunny and a little cooler with highs around 70. There will be a bit of a breeze as well. We'll be in the low 70s with sunshine on Friday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Old Town Construction, we're more than just builders. We're a family. Making friends, having fun, and giving back to our communities is our top priority. From first consultation to final nail, our team is dedicated to delivering top quality work with a personal touch. Home renovation, new build, or repair, we're here to ensure the job is done right. With Old Town Construction, you're not just gaining a contractor, you're gaining a partner who cares about your community. Let's build something great together. Visit OLDETownConstruction.com today.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quick Star, and head to Quick Star right now. They are serving up their legendary No Ordinary Chicken, and they've got all kinds of ways for you to take home your favorite meal. Juicy chicken tenders, boneless wings, perfect for dipping in your favorite sauce. Plus, they've got ready-to-eat dinners to feed the whole crew, and crispy chicken sandwiches available for the low, low price of $3.39. I've had a few of those. They are legendary out there at Quick Star. Not only that, but some great deals going on right now. Nature's Touch Butter, 1 pound, $2.99, limit two. And for grilling, you've got the Quickery Buns, hamburger, hot dog, or brat buns, 8 count, two for $3, limit four. And bananas, jumbo onions, or baking potatoes, limit 10 pounds, they are 29 cents a pound. Stop on by at your neighborhood Quick Star.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Every great team has its core players, but when the season gets tough, adding the right free agent can make all the difference. The same goes for business. At Robert Half, we found that 67% of companies surveyed plan to increase their use of contract talent to handle workload peaks and backlogged projects. With Robert Half's specialized recruiters experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can quickly find the skilled candidates you want. At Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
We're everyday people doing good in our community. Our kindness runs deep, just like our blood. The same blood we donate to help treat sickle cell disease, which hits Black people the hardest. Good news is, 1 in 3 Black blood donors is a match for someone struggling with sickle cell disease. Stand tall in the eyes of your community. Donate today because our blood saves lives. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make your donation.
3:30, back with you here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. More golf talk coming up tomorrow. Bob Herrig covers the PGA Tour for Sports Illustrated is going to join us as we are on the, we got the Truist starting tomorrow at the Philadelphia Cricket Club. And then next week at Quail Hollow, where the Truist would usually be located, will be the PGA Championship, which has a lot of storylines. We thought Augusta had a lot of storylines. The PGA next week with a lot of storylines. We welcome in Brian Haas from Lake House Sports, lakehousesports.com, joining us here on Caddy Smack on the Gym Class for a Wednesday. And great to have you back in studio.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And if you have a question for Brian about your game, go ahead and get it to us on the text line at 319-366-1600. And that's 319-366-1600. We're into the month of May. The golf courses are in great shape. We've had just the right amount of rain. We're getting some heat now, so everything's going to start to grow.
It's growing. We're getting all those pretty little flowers all over our yards, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's time to start fertilizing.
Very true. Since we talked with you, it's been a month, but you were at Augusta National taking in the Masters. So you got to tell us all about that. Just a little bit of a pretty good story with Rory McIlroy winning.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. There's five players, if I'm not wrong, that's ever done that. And that's an amazing feat for sure. To hold all the trophies in your house in one place, that's pretty cool.
Not bad. How was Augusta?
It's, beautiful as always, and we had some really good weather. It rained a little bit before we went, but you wouldn't know it. And, in fact, they took care of the ground so well that, you know, they use that, the wrong word is kitty litter, but it's kind of like a kitty litter that they use that's on the ground that in the spots where traffic, you know, get a lot of people there. And it's remarkably the exact same color of the grass. And you cannot tell the difference. And it's always in such good shape. And we got there bright and early. We were probably the first couple hundred people in there. And sat out on number six, the par three. Watched that for a while. Got some chairs and hung out on the ropes right there. So we were an arm's length of the players listening to the caddies and the players discuss what shot. And I heard everything from a 6-iron to a 9-iron into that par three. It was playing just a little over 180 yards, like 181. And it was a lot of fun to watch them.
Well, Scotty Scheffler certainly put on a show last week, and Scott talked about the PGA, and that adds intrigue. Not that he ever left the game, but because he was having a pretty good year for most people, but then just blistered the course last week, especially the front nine. He was 22 under on the front nine alone.
Yeah, he just flat waxed everybody.
It was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
But that's going to add intrigue. He and Rory are co-favorites to win. You got Xander being the defending champion. So, Scheffler, McIlroy, Scheffler.
Yeah, it's gonna jump around like that. And there's probably even a couple more players that can jump in there. Bryson, right, is a good example. He's been playing really well, even though we don't get to see him week in and week out. If you go hunt him down on the right channels on TV, you can watch it. And I look for Brooks to maybe start making some little comebacks as well. He's been working pretty hard lately.
Problem is, it's at Rory Country Club.
Right.
Quail Hollow.
Right. He's won four times.
Yeah, he's comfortable there. Sometimes that's not a good thing either.
And if he gets number two, man, and the closest I think we'll ever come to the Grand Slam is the Tiger Slam.
Right.
When he held all four. He didn't win all four in the single season, year, but he had all four.
He did.
Rory at Quail Hollow, pretty good bet. Pretty good bet. Justin Thomas has also won there a handful of times, too, between the two tournaments. So,
and he's been playing better.
And he's been playing a lot better.
Yeah.
And
rededicated, for sure.
Horses for courses, as they say.
There is. That is a thing. And sometimes, too, after a while, you get really good at a golf course. You get maybe a little too comfortable, maybe a little displacent, right? And you don't quite perform as well. I talk to my high school players about that a lot. This year, I think State is being held for the smaller schools at Saddleback and Solon.
Oh.
And so that is their home golf course if they make it to state. And I said, you know, that's not always the greatest thing when it's your own golf course, because you look at your golf course differently and you cut corners maybe you shouldn't normally cut, and, you know, things like that. So so sometimes it, being your golf course isn't always a great thing.
The PGA Club Professional Championship was last week, and I know your guy, Tracy Vest, probably a little disappointed with his showing, but
yeah,
I always loved that watching that tournament. Michael Block made it through,
yep,
among others.
Jeff Schmid. But
Jeff Schmid, yeah. Yep. It's really fun to see those guys out there, guys like you.
Yeah, yep, and they're good, right? These guys can flat play and as shown, you know, can make the cut in the PGA Championship at times as well, which to me is just, it's craziness, because that is a whole another level of play. But yeah, fun to watch, and it puts a different pressure on these players. You know, they know it, they understand it, but can they go through it? And that's the hard part for them. And, you know, they coach it all the time. They're coaching high school players, they're coaching college players, and they're around the players that are having to go through that process. But when they get through the PGA Championship or our club national professional championship, they have to go and do it again themselves, which is always fun to watch.
Yeah, and the biggest difference, I mean, these guys, like you said, can play. The biggest difference is they are not putting eight-hour days into their game. They're putting it into other people's game. And just to see them go out there and perform as well as they do on a difficult golf course is almost, you know, even more of an interesting thing.
I enjoyed watching the playoff for the last spot, the 20th spot, as much as I did seeing, I can't remember the winner's name, but, you know, win by 10. You know, he has one of the largest spans of winning.
Call it.
Yeah, and he had the largest span of winning, or one of them anyway. And then the guys that are battling it out, literally hole after hole in the shootout or playoff, for the 20th spot to play in a PGA Championship.
I want to maybe involve our listeners a little bit with your advice, Brian, and that has to do with the mental side of the game. And, you know, so often people go out there and play nine holes and go get a brat and a beer and expect their second nine to be different, maybe better. But the process, you know, not a tournament player, but it's, people play all the time, but just want to improve their score. I think the ideal thing is shot by shot, hole by hole. But can you break it down to, like, I'm going to really focus on these three holes and then the next three holes? Or does that make any sense?
I like all of that, right? And you do have to come up with your own ways. And sometimes you have to change it in order to make it different so that you can focus differently. Because even if you do it the same way all the time, where you're saying shot by shot or hole by hole or three holes at a time, I like all those methods. You can't do them all at the same time a lot of times. But I will put one of those methods in front of a player and then hold them to it. And they'll start changing. And then sometimes that becomes mundane, or, you know, something to that effect where that's not working anymore, then we change it to one of the others. And it's expectations. And the expectation needs to be the next shot is your most important shot all the time. And whether you're doing that in three hole spans and then starting over, or you're doing it in one hole spans and starting over, it doesn't matter how you do it. It's how you can take those expectations and lower them immensely.
You need a plan too.
Yeah.
You just don't walk up to the tee and hit it.
No.
Or you don't. The best advice that myself and the late great Rick Swann got was from Mo Martin.
Yes.
And she said, Rick was hitting balls on the range when they were here for way back in the day at Hunter's Ridge for the Ladies Titan Tire Challenge, and she said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm hitting the ball." And you never hit a golf ball if you don't have a target.
Yes,
you have to have a target, even on a practice range. Going through that,
yeah, and you know, another good way to look at it is if I gave you directions to get over to your favorite ice cream store and said, all right, here's three ways to get there, right? And you need to pick your best way. You know, if your car only turns right, then we got to go this way. If your car only turns left, we got to go this way. And if your car goes pretty straight, then we're going to go this way. And so you need to understand the direction of your flight. Everybody has their own. There are really no two the same. And we can watch that, you know, week in, week out on the PGA Tour. And so finding your ball flight that you can repeat over and over, and then finding the correct directions to the green is the most important way to play. And that's maybe the easiest way for me to explain it. There's three ways to get to the ice cream store, and you really have one way that is your best way. And we got to use that way.
Brian, I think one of the things that a lot of people might struggle with, I know I do from time to time, is process versus score. And, you know, we could go out and play well and not score well and vice versa. And what can you take away from the process? Because the first thing you do at the golf course after paying green fees is get a scorecard.
Yeah. Yeah. And the process is really, again, it's a personal process. And you need to come up with it. And it can have anywhere from three, you know, on the low side to seven processes that you go through. And that starts the moment you warm up, as we're, you know, just mentioning, you need to have a target and maybe even lay a stick down to make sure that you're on your target. Because I see this all the time at the practice range. Players are swinging at a target, but their feet are nowhere near the target. And for the type of swing that they're doing, and they're wondering why they can't, you know, play golf. Well, you're not aimed at your target. And then the way you aim is how you like to see your ball flight. So if that's a left to right or right to left or somewhat straightish, you know, you still have to aim to one side or the other because that ball's going to move. And there's no such thing as a straight ball. So stop trying to hit it straight because that doesn't work. So that's the process, right? Then you got to take that process to the golf course, and that's in your routine. So how you grab the club out of the, you know, choose your golf club, and understand it. You can go to all these places now, like my place, right? And go in, get on a TrackMan or a Foresight, and find out your carries and your totals. Yeah. It's really easy to do, and there's these places are everywhere now. And write them all down. Go through your bag. Hit four-ish balls with every club that you said, okay, I hit that fairly solid. I like that one. And you want four of those so you have a nice average. And because you're not going to hit everyone perfect. We're not tour players. And then write down your carry and your total. And so that way when you're making that selection in your bag and you have a shot that says 154 to the flag, but your minimum carry has to be probably 148. So now you look at your list and you go, okay, the club I carry 148 is X, and we're going to hit that. And then you start your routine. So your first routine is, let's get a club that reasonably gets me there. And it's a real number. It's not a guess. Because if you say I hit my 7-iron 150 yards, well, nobody does that. Everybody hits it 154, or they hit it 148, or they hit it, you know, it's not an even number. And you just need to get those written down and then start your process into the shot that you're going to hit into the hole.
Yeah, you wish it was an even number. If you have a question for Brian about your game, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600 on the text line. Caddy Smack on the Gym Class here on a Wednesday. We were talking about this, guys, before we got into the show today, and that is, speaking of practicing, when you are so many of the ranges now, and it's due to upkeep and maintaining the ranges because they're difficult to maintain. You know that, Brian, as well as anybody. But a lot of ranges are going to, if they're not going fully to mats, they have mats on them on the outside of the range. Just hitting off of those mats and how different it can be than hitting off of, you know, God's green earth.
Yeah, there is definitely quality differences and in the mats. So, for instance, in my lab, I use a very high quality mat, and on occasion, a ball will bounce up a little bit, and you'll hit a little bit higher on the face, but it doesn't happen that often, and that goes by the quality of your mat. So, if it's a real durable mat and they're kind of firmish, you're gonna get a lot more of that bounce. And so, what I mean by that is when your club goes down, and you might be hitting the ball first, or you feel like you are. As soon as your club makes contact with that turf, your ball is moving up off of that turf, which it won't do on ground.
Yep.
And so then you really catch it high in the face, almost like a flyer. So that's the bad thing about mats. The good thing about mats is, you're right, the maintenance side of it. I mean, as high end of facilities like Baltistrol, right? They have a line of really nice turf behind their grass tee. And so when it's a really wet day or they had multiple rain days, you can still go and hit some practice balls. And so I think it's a great thing. But if you're having to practice all the time on low quality mats, that's a little rough on your game. And so then it'd be time to maybe go find a better quality mat somewhere, or you know, find a place that's on the turf.
Short game advice, because that's where you can really save strokes, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things I don't think people take into consideration is when you're making a chip, maybe 5-10 yards off the green, the grain of the grass and how that can affect that chip and might affect the club you choose.
Yeah, and you know, in the Midwest, we most of our greens are either bent grass or some form of poana grass, which is like bent grass. And in the Midwest, we kind of call that a weed. But when golf courses get older, they become poana, and that's just the way it is. But basically bent grass, and so because we're mowing them down more, the grain in the Midwest doesn't affect us nearly as much. But as we get you know a little further south, or you're playing a golf course that maybe doesn't have quite the speedy greens, maybe they roll at 7 and 8 instead of 9, 10, 11. If your greens are rolling 9, 10, 11, the grain isn't going to affect you as much, and they're just going to be fast, you know, both directions. And but down green, don't get me wrong, it will run a little faster. But when you're at 7 speed and a little bit slower, 7/8, you know, in that world, early season putting, then the grain will be definitely way more affecting. You know, up into the grain is going to be slower, a lot slower, and down green will be quite a bit
faster.
What
about the grain where you're chipping from? Not necessarily on the green, but when you're, if you're going to hit your club into the grain or with the grain.
Yes. So when you're hitting the shot, that is definitely a big factor. So if you're pitching from, say, even an inch long grass, which is not a lot really, and it's kind of laying down, but it's laying down into you, you're better off with a little less loft and trying to get that ball through so that you catch more face. And then down green, or you know, the grass is growing with you, that's way easier. That's what I'm always looking for. You can spin the ball a lot better. The question I get a lot is, you know, how do I spin that ball and make it one hop and stop? And one of those is that grain of that grass has to be going with you in order for that to happen. Because when it grows against you, the ball knuckles out and you can't control it. And sometimes we'll even climb up the face a little bit on you.
With that, we got a couple of questions here. And if you have a question, go ahead and text it to us at 319-366-1600. I have one from an anonymous golfer that has been sent to me. We'll just keep him as anonymous golfer. Chipping or putting from off the green? Tough decision for them. You talked about grain a little bit. And if you are, I mean, rule of thumb for me is if you're changing grass heights, I tend to want to chip it. But if you have, say you're 3 or 4 feet off the green and that grass is not much longer than the grass on the green, I tend to putt that a little bit. I mean, there really is no rule of thumb for it.
There isn't. And so I guess my rule is, depending on your ability level, right? Average player, always keep the ball on the ground, so putt it. And keep the ball, you know, up is more difficult.
Yeah.
Always. And so the more you can use your putter, the better you're going to be as an average player. As you start to get better, you'll find, depending on which way the grain is growing, you know, as Mark mentioned, that'll make an effect on whether I putt it or chip it. Whether I'm butt up against the longer grass, I might be on the collar, and then your ball's up against the grass a little bit. Then I'm chipping it instead of my putter because it won't take that angle very well, and there's no loft.
Yeah.
And so it's a factor. You know, what do I have to go through? If everything's growing with you, you know, the putter is always your best choice.
Another question here before we get to a quick break. 8593 asking, how hard or light should you grip the golf club? Very good question.
I like that. Yeah. So more times than not, I climb into the box with the player, grab their golf club when it's in their hands, and they are hanging on with a death grip.
That's true.
And I'm like, oh boy, let go. And so what I like is if somebody will walk up to you as you grip it and try to be as natural as you can in how you do it, and then have them grab the shaft and then wiggle it back and forth left and right, almost like a snake would wiggle. And it should feel like they should be letting loose, and you should be able to wiggle that thing back and forth very easily. So when you're holding the grip properly and it's in your fingers, you can actually grip that really lightly, because if I made you hang out a window or on the monkey bars like when we were kids, you hang from your fingers. It's the strongest part of your body. It'll hold you all of your weight. And so when that grip is in your fingers, you have all that mobility and capability of having a lighter grip. When you have the grip up in your palm of your hand more, you're more likely to grab onto it tighter, and then you lose all mobility in your golf swing.
And if your hand gets red, that's a bad sign, right?
Yeah, that'd be bad. Yeah.
Very bad sign.
Or white
sign.
Knuckles. I see the white knuckles all the time. Yeah, like, holy cow, how hard are you hanging on to that thing?
Got another, we're going to take a quick break, come back. We'll answer another question here on the text line, 319-366-1600. It is Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. Brian Haas from Lake House Sports joining us. We'll be back with more right after this.
The playoffs are in full swing, and you can get in on all the action at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Go from tracking the latest game-changing moments to placing bets in just a few taps. Right now, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code JOEQ, that's J-O-E-Q, to get started today. Must be 21+. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Whether you're building a single roof or a successful roofing business, roofing contractors like you need the right tools for the job, and software is no exception. ServiceTitan is on a mission to be the most powerful software platform for the trades. With purpose-built technology proven to maximize revenue, streamline operations, and deliver 5-star customer experiences, we are taking roofing companies like yours to the next level and beyond. ServiceTitan. We are built for this. See what we can do for roofers at ServiceTitan.com.
3:52, back with you here on Caddy Smack on the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Brian Haas. Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next. Question from 5894, are there any drills that they can do to compress the golf ball? It feels like they have been scooping it, and that's a common thing.
Yeah, so typically, not always, but typically, a player that's scooping the ball is moving to their right through impact, so you'll see their upper body tilt back away from the ball. I'm talking about a right-handed player. And so that causes that scooping motion. So if you think if your sternum is behind the ball at impact, your hands have to flip through in order to hit it. So get your sternum in front of the ball and get that shaft leaning left. And practice that way. I like to use a heavy ball or something. When I was playing for a living, I used my couch. And, you know, because none of this stuff existed that we get to use today to see where we were. But it's that lean into your left side and get that shaft leaning left, you know, so you feel that impact. Pitching some balls and driving it down with like a lob wedge will get you some of that feeling of compressing the ball, and then just move that into a longer golf club. So more times than not, scooping comes from your body moving to the right through impact instead of moving to the left through impact. So start your swing moving back to your right and then finish in through to your left and get your body moving left toward the target for a right-handed player.
Fun game, tough game.
Tough game, yeah. In fact, that's a great question, because I just had a dad send me 7 photos of his high school daughter. And, you know, with the exclamation of help. So, this week, too, if you want to send me, this might be a bad thing to say on air, but I'm doing the free send me your videos this week.
Oh, okay. And, Where can I send it?
Yeah, email them to me at bri@lakehousesports.com. And I'll send back your results. So I use my V1. I take your video, put it in my V1. I draw the green lines of where you should be, the red lines of what you're doing, and then give you photos of the correct positionings, you know, so you can see a player in a better position so that you can work towards something. And so we're doing that through the month of May.
It's a great service.
Yeah, a lot of fun, right? I get quite a few of them. Those are my clients that are doing the last ones. I got a couple others so far, but it's fun to take a look at them and see what they're up to.
Put help in the subject line.
Yeah, help.
with about three exclamation points.
Yeah. If you send it, I need a face on and a down the line. So from about where your hand position is with the camera, so I get a good look at it.
Oh, you got about 2 minutes left here. Rory, Scotty, or the field next week?
Ooh. I think Rory's ready to go again.
I think it's I'd take Rory and Scotty this time.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would ever do that, but I think on the way Scotty's putting.
You're talking about the PGA or this
the
week?
The PGA.
Okay.
Yeah. PGA.
I think I'm going to give JT a run at it.
Okay.
He's been playing good and you know what? He won, but nothing super recent, two events ago, but he's got this little span in between now. Where he's still playing good and he still has that I want it. So I'm going JT.
Okay. Marek?
Well, you put me on the spot. You got to go with the one in the top three, right? And for individual purposes, I'll go with Scheffler.
That would be great for us.
Yeah.
We'll see if he can come through. Playing a Tillinghast course this week, the oldest club in America, the Philadelphia Cricket Club. I'm really excited to watch golf this weekend.
Yeah, definitely.
They don't play these courses now.
And well, because I think they're going to roll the ball back. I hope they don't, but I think they are. Some of these courses may be more relevant again and won't have to try to find more land in order to become relevant. We might see more of those courses come back in.
This is old-timey golf coming up.
Yeah.
OG golf.
Yeah, you know what? That helps the Brian Harmans out there that aren't the longest players and you know, more steady in play. And we'll see a lot more of that type of player.
There you go. And, Brian, thanks. Keep up the great work at Lake House Sports.
Yeah, thank you.
We will see you in a couple weeks. Some more golf.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
All right. And, stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next right here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN. Oklahoma City and Denver. Game two of their series coming up tonight at 8 o'clock for you from ESPN, 835 with the tip-off for that one. We are back tomorrow with another edition of the Gym Class. Bob Herrig will talk about the Truist and the PGA. Looking forward to that. That course looks amazing. So I think it's going to be a fun weekend.
It will be, and we'll be here to comment about it.
Yes, we
Looking
will.
Looking forward to it.
All right, see you tomorrow.
Got it.
All right, you've been listening to the Gym Class here in Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN.
Adam Schefter here for Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Are you ready for the NFL season?